A lot of interesting things to look forward to in the next year, and this kind of topic, I've been thinking on it lately, and it's the topic of faith. And we're not starting a new series tonight, we're going to start a new one, so this was sort of a week that I just decided to say, Lord, what do you want to say to us? Maybe the Lord would have, what would he have to say to us just for tonight, and a sort of standalone message and everything. And I've been thinking a lot about faith lately, and in fact, I read a blog by our very own Daniel Guy right back in here. Daniel, raise your hand if you would. He writes a blog called We Are the Living, and it's weareTheLiving.blogspot.com. It's a blog, a blogger website, and he wrote this blog on the topic of faith and how sometimes we separate faith and we remove faith from the practice of our new life, and how we don't make it a faith walk any longer. We're just trying to make it so practical that we're actually removing trust in God out of the whole equation. That blog was much better than my message tonight, but it at least was the seed for this message, and I'd like to talk to you this evening about faith. One verse tonight, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Faith is something in the scriptures that it's imperative for us to know what it is and what it is not. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." Now, if we just stop right there in the verse, a child could understand that if it's impossible to please God without faith, that we need to have faith to please God. And he goes on in the second part of this verse, and I want to look at three different aspects in this verse to explain at least at how this verse explains what faith is. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." I love this verse because it is rooted in the character of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. "For whoever would draw near to him," to God, "must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Now, just those three parts to this verse. First of all, whoever would draw near to God. It is this part of this verse that gives us what our operation is in this equation, if we could say, use that term, of faith. We have to come to him. We don't go to anyone else. We go to God. He is our source. In fact, faith is a gift. It's an opportunity that we have to respond to him. But that faith is rooted and must be rooted in the very character of God. And that's what the last two parts of this verse I want to zoom in on. First of all, the two elements of God's character that we see in this verse. First of all, we must believe, whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. So the first characteristic of God in this verse is that he is real. Now, I know you're saying, whoa, man, you are blowing my mind tonight. But he is real. You see, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists. But let me ask you a question. Do you live your life in such a way that if someone watched you, they would say that since there is no change in your life, that your God is fake? You see, whoever comes to him must believe, first of all, that he exists, that he is real. Now, during the 90s, especially the late 90s, there was this surge of Christian literature that was really centered around this word, and that word was postmodernism or postmodernity. And that word, if you had it in a title, you could sell 1,000 books because it just was out there, and you could just pick it up. It was everywhere. And it even went on into the early 2000s and everything like that. And I think people had either one of two responses to that. Either one, they excessively embraced the experiential. So if faith wasn't experiential, then it wasn't real. Well, that excess is wrong. But then some people would go on the other side where there is no experience and all we must do is to have this sort of intellectual assent to God, or that it's all about the intellect. Now, I am a huge proponent of you know, education and all this, but I want to say that this is more, faith in Christ is more than just intellectual assent. It's more than just reading about propositions or propositions about God in a book called the Bible. No, this is about having the spiritual and the intellectual melt together in this encounter by faith in Christ. This encounter with God by faith in Christ. That is what this experience is supposed to be about. You see, and I find a lot of people, they're just reading that are on the other end as far as, you know, some people are all experience and they've checked their brain at the door, and we're not supposed to do that. But then I find some other people that are, it's just about knowledge. That if I just look and read and do enough and know enough, then I will be a better person. And essentially what it becomes is behavior modification that you initiate. But see, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because to please God, you must first come to Him and believe that He is real. That this is a God who wants to have a dynamic relationship with you and not a static relationship with you. He's real. And the third component is that, and I love this, He responds. You must come to Him. He's real. But look at this last part of this verse. He responds. For whoever would draw near to God, and I'm reading out of the ESV. I'm sorry, let me read out of the NIV for a moment here. That's probably what was on the screen. Sorry about that, JJ. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You must come to Him and believe that He exists, that He's real, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You know what I love about God's character? It's what separates us from every other religion in the world. That we believe that we serve a real God, a relational God who responds to His children. He responds to us because we have faith in the work on the cross and the resurrection reality of Jesus. Now, oftentimes, religion gets you to the second point, that He is real. But see, religion is essentially telling you that God is against you. And I've heard people say this before, you know, oh, I don't like going to an AG church because AG means all guilt. What? You know, it's because they've come and they've experienced religion in such a way where it's only like this legalistic rule, you're not good enough pressure on their shoulders. And it just oppresses them. It's guilt. And people like myself, you know, sometimes we're the guilty ones for making people feel that way because of our words, and sometimes they fail us, and for that I apologize. Because really, that's where religion will bring you, but it stops there. But see, that's not where the scriptures leave you. That's not where biblical theology and where Jesus kind of relationship leaves you. Because he goes past that to this point that He responds, because it's about a relationship. And so the message of this book is fundamentally that God is not against you, but God is for you. God is for you. You see, let me ask you this question. Please don't answer it out loud. I just want you to think about it in your mind. But think about this question and listen very carefully. Did God judge us the way we deserved. Let me say that again. And think carefully about your answer. Did God judge us the way we deserved? I believe that the answer to that question is no. Because he placed the penalty of our sin on Jesus. Jesus received what we deserved. And because of that is why the truth of the gospel is not static, it is dynamic. It is what, when we accept by faith the Spirit of God, it melds with our souls and he bears witness with us, and now we have someone, we have an advocate, we have an intercessor before the Father that is interceding for us. And we have this dynamic relationship. You see, we serve a God that is not only real, but he responds to us. And so I want to talk about three different ways that we can exercise this faith. And this is not an exhaustive list, but these are three things that I was thinking about over the past couple of weeks that have just been on my heart. Because when it comes to having faith, well, how do we exercise that faith? That we believe God's real, and we believe he responds, and we come to him. Okay, so maybe what are some areas that we are challenged with on a daily basis where we should be exercising more faith than something else? And the first area that I'd like to highlight is just the invisible. The invisible. You know, when you trust him with the invisible, it says a lot about your faith with the unknown. I remember when I found myself searching for a job about 5 years ago. We owned a house. It was our first house at the time. And I remember if you've ever looked for a job, I mean, counselors tell us that transitioning from a job or needing to move on from a job is like one of the worst stresses you can go over. And I know many of you in this room can relate to that. And I remember pacing the floor at night. And if I'm going to be honest with you, the prayers at that moment were not faith-filled prayers. It was probably more an exercise in worry. I mean, I was just complaining and worrying and trying to express my heart to God. And, I mean, it was probably 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm still praying. I just so stressed. And what am I going to do? I have two wonderful girls and a family to take care of. You know, I'm too young. No one, you know, I'm awful. You know, all these kind of different things. Like, oh my gosh, you know. And many of you may know the story. Some of you may not know, but about 2 years before I was looking for a job, I had talked with Jim Bradford about. I guess there's been a long enough time I could probably share this now. Anyway, I had talked with Jim Bradford about being the youth pastor here, and don't take this wrong, but I turned it down. Several times I turned it down. And I remember thinking this thought that the only place that I wanted to be, I know this is going to sound weird, but the only place I could think about going was Central Assembly. But I had already told the pastor, the current pastor of Central Assembly, no. And that's not how you want to start off, like a phone call. Hey, man, remember me? I'm your best friend, you know. And you know, can we pick this up again? And no, okay, sorry. So like I thought, oh, I love Central, and I'd been here before, but I just sort of put it away. And then I had this other friend, and I actually applied for this youth pastor, college pastor position down in Texas. In fact, I'm still waiting to hear back if I got that job. It's been about 5 years now, but hey, I'm, you know, maybe, never called back. Anyway, but I applied, and we talked, and it went good. But anyway, if you're hearing this on the podcast, I'd really like you to call. so, you know, I applied for all of these different things, and just, you know, kind of came back and worried, and I'd just pray. I'd pace the floor at night. And one day, as I was pacing the floor, I felt like that, if you've ever had one of those moments where you just felt a distinct impression from the Spirit. And I know this is going to sound a little strange, but I felt like the Spirit said, I want you to stop walking. So I stopped walking. And then he said, or I shouldn't say he said it in here in an audible voice, but I felt this impression in my heart, in my spirit, that I want you to imagine drawing a circle around yourself. A circle around yourself. And however long it takes, Mike, you do not step out of this circle until you have come to the full realization that there is no other possibility other than I hear your prayer. Think about that. Do not step out of that circle until you realize there is no other possibility than I hear your prayer. And I'd like to, you know, to tell you I was there for the next 6 hours, 5 minutes, and I went to bed like that. Because in that moment, somehow, like, the Spirit just, like, crystallized in my heart that He answers every prayer. It may not always be the answer I want, but He is a God that fundamentally is real and responds to everything we ask Him. There is no other possibility. Without faith, if you come to Him, those who earnestly seek Him. I mean, Lord, now this isn't, let me clarify what I'm not saying. This is not demanding of God. Listen carefully to what I said. There is no other possibility other than you are hearing my prayers and that you will respond. And Father, I trust you to respond. Father, I trust you. So, trusting Him with the invisible, it's painful and it hurts. But trusting Him with the invisible, with the stuff you can't see in the future, is something that He asks of you and me. We must trust Him with those things which we cannot see. The second thing that we have to exercise faith in is the issue of passion. And I bring up this word because I have a lot of friends and acquaintances, and I know a lot of people who are passionate about what they do, about their profession and about their job or their calling or whatever you may frame that. Now, this is something that I have personally struggled with, and as I reflect on it almost daily, I realize that it's something that is, it's not, there are some things that I think can be delivered, and there are some things that you're just going to, it's going to be a lifetime of discipleship and honing and reflection, and this is one of those areas. Because a lot of people have what they call passion, but it's really not pure passion. And I have found that the more faith I have in God, the purer my passion becomes. But the further I grow away from God, the more that my passion becomes laced really with anger. Because that passion's really not pure passion. It's some people, their passion is really a response to something that has angered them. Now, I'm not saying that those things don't have a relationship sometimes, but some friends that I've had over the years have launched into things that they are passionate about, essentially out of rebellion. And we have to be careful that the closer we grow and the more faith that we have in Christ, the more we realize that our passion and the results of our work are in God's hands, not in ours. Because sometimes we are so passionate that we are asking God to attend to what we are passionate about instead of being passionate about what He is passionate about. Does that make sense? It's like I heard someone say one time, And it shocked me. He said, I will never ask the Lord to bless another thing I do. And I'm like, well, that's dumb. Why would you not do that? And then he went on to explain how for a year, and this is an older gentleman, and I was like, man, he's going crazy. You know, what's he there doing? And this wise man ended up going on, and he explained to me that that as he's grown in God, his prayer is not for the Lord to attend what he's passionate about, but for him to do what the Lord asked him to do. So he's not going to ask the Lord to bless another thing he does. He wants to bless what the Lord wants him to do. And so it's that who's following who kind of thing. So passion. And make sure the passion is pure. And the closer you become to God, the more you realize either A, that your passion is tainted with anger or some sort of rebellious motive, or that it is it's really pure passion, because there's a difference. And the third aspect is that we have to exercise faith in, and these two go hand in hand, and that is prayer. And that is prayer. I find by and large that that we could all stand a good dose of disciplined and yet reflective prayer in all of our lives, if we're all being honest. You know, maybe if we just put up on, you start thinking about in your mind, like, okay, how many times do I not go to the Lord first about an issue or a concern, and instead I call my best friend? But see, I think this really goes back to the heart of this verse and the characteristics of God, that He is a God who is A, real, and B, responds to His children. And see, that's why I'm asking, like, how many times do we do things that doesn't reflect our belief? And that's where intellect and experience have to come together in faith, by faith in Christ. Prayer. I love what Jack Hayford said. Jack Hayford said, prayer is invading the impossible. It was, my oldest daughter is in second grade. 2 years ago, when she started kindergarten, we had a pretty frightening experience. It was her first week of school, and she would see the school bus driving in front of our house all the time. And she used to ask, hey, Dad, when can I ride the bus? And never. So anyway, I'd say, well, you know, when you get older, Carson, when you get older. Okay. So we dropped her off to school. And I don't want to say it was the first day, because it may not be accurate, but it was in the first week. It could have been the first or second day. I'm here at the office, here at church, and Daisy goes to pick up Carson at about 3 o'clock. I get a call at about 3:05, and Daisy says, they can't find Carson anywhere in the school. Now, if you are a parent and you've ever had a child go missing, it could be in Walmart or Walgreens, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about. The fear that grips your heart. I think at the time I was like in a meeting or something, and it was like, bye, see ya. No, and I'm flying 90 miles an hour down Kansas Expressway and making a beeline for the school, and just, and Daisy's line, I told you something would happen. Like, what? You didn't tell me. I didn't know. What? You know, I'm going, well, how do you know? What? And I told you, and, you know, and every episode of Maury is like playing in her mind or something. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know. What? I'm so confused. And what happened? And I don't know. She's crying, and I'm speeding and everything else. And we're just absolutely frantic. They can't find her. Every teacher that they have, and they've called the police by now and everything, they are searching the school. And all we know to do is okay, well, you know, maybe we start like calling people that we know that go to the school, and maybe they rode with her or something like that. And I remember Daisy calling back, and we kept calling back and forth, and she said, let's pray about it. And it was real fast. It wasn't like, let's take a moment for prayer requests. No, it was, let's just pray right now, that kind of thing. And so but in my mind, I'm just going, I don't want to pray about it. I'm driving. I'm trying to, you know, stay safe. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, you know, Jesus, help us find Carson. Amen. Okay, see you when I get there. Bye. And it was that quick. I'm not even joking. I don't even get to the school. 2 minutes later, she calls. We found her. Where is she? On the bus. Somehow she snuck past like the half a dozen like personnel that are like sifting through kids that go on the bus and she just like slipped right by them, and you know, it's probably those pretty eyes. She's like, okay, bye, you know, and she gets on the bus and somehow she makes it all the way back to our house. And Daisy is just freaking. My heart is, oh, thank God. Oh my gosh, you know, and what were we gonna do and everything. Oh gosh. I mean, have you felt that before? But there's something Daisy said that I wanna remind us all of. What feels lost? Is there something that feels lost in your life? That level of desperation and just utter lostness. And I want to ask you the same question. Have you prayed about it? Oh, yeah, fine, I'll pray about it. Okay. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it every day? Not worrying, praying in faith. And I'm not saying that we were perfect, or I'm not trying to call you to some higher level of perfection and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, how many times do we not take our desperate lostness in situations before the Lord? We want other people to comfort us, but we say the Lord for second. You know, our culture has sort of reduced prayer to emotional therapy, and indeed sometimes it is therapeutic, but when we pray, we should have faith because we believe God is real and He responds to His children. Prayer, if we could understand and see what's happened, that there is no other possibility other than God is real and responsive. And there's no way that we can please Him and believe that He rewards those who seek Him without faith in Him. See, that faith, we trust through the invisible. We trust that as we grow in Him, that our passion will be pure and purified. And we grow in Him in the area of faith. And I want to ask you tonight in closing, because when you think about faith, there is an element of faith that we see, like here in the writer of Hebrews is showing us. Then there's also the gift of faith. You find it right in the in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And it's listed right along there with tongues and interpretation of tongues, a word of knowledge, and then the gift of faith. And I think that some people, just like all the other gifts, are apportioned by the Spirit to have faith in a moment for a season. But that faith is a gift for that time. And this faith is the same, it's like a different side of the coin, but this is a faith that we all must possess and we all must have. Now, sometimes I don't feel like a person of great faith, but I like what Mother Teresa said one time. If all you can pray is silence, then give God your silence. If all you can pray are whispers, then give God your whispers. If all you can pray are screams, then give God your screams. The point that I want to make tonight is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And whoever comes to Him must believe that He exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What is it in your life that you may need to draw a spiritual circle around your footprint, and you say, Lord, I'm bringing this to you, and by faith in Christ, I'm going to receive that there is no other possibility that you are real and that you respond to your children. I trust you, Father, with the invisible. Purify my motives, but I trust you with every outcome. Believe in my heart that tonight there may be some people here who are wrestling with something in your life for which you need to desperately exercise faith in Christ in two particular aspects. First of all, in God's provision and in God's timing. And I just say that because as I was praying through this message, those are the ways that oftentimes we question God's, to use the word in the passage, the rewards of God. We question them. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. And sometimes we don't like those rewards. We don't like the results sometimes. But I would say that we must all learn to trust his timing, trust his character, and trust his provisions. Because this is not about demanding to get what you want. This is that, Lord, you are enough. Faith in you. You are enough. You are my sufficiency. And I want to believe with you tonight that God, that there is no other possibility other than God hears you and he's real and he wants to respond. Let's take that to the Lord for the next few moments. Father, thank you so much that you are a real God and that you respond to us. The next few moments, I just like for us all just to pray what's on our heart. What are we believing God for? What do you need to exercise faith in? This is about bringing those things that feel desperate and hopeless without him to him, believing that he is real and will respond. Father, we trust you. We trust you with jobs. We trust you with finances. We trust you, Lord, with our spiritual growth. We trust you with the things we're tempted with on a daily basis. We trust you for delivering us, Lord. We trust you for that which we cannot see. We trust you, Lord, for that which we are not even worrying about at this moment. But Lord, we know that you have it in your hands because, God, you are for us and not against us. I thank you, Lord, that you're great in your great provision, Lord. We come away after we see ourselves the way you see us that, Lord, we learn to trust you and that you are our sufficiency, Lord. We come close to you, Lord. We don't draw on our own sufficiency, but we come close to you. We believe, Lord, that you want to have a dynamic relationship with us. Not one that is simply experiential and feelings-based, or even one that is only intellectual assent or possibly behavior modification or just trying to make ourselves better. Lord, we want to encounter you. And we do that through faith in your Son Jesus, that work on the cross and resurrection reality. Help us, I pray, Lord. I pray for those that are standing on something that no one knows about in this room. As we hold that, Lord, in our hearts and our minds suspended, I pray for faith in our hearts to be exercised now. I pray for radical trust, radical dependence on the Spirit of God leading us. Lord, we trust you. Where we have felt like failures in our past, Lord, we trust you to somehow morph it into wisdom, Lord, and may we see your purpose in it, Lord. We may not see it until the future, but Father, we trust you that you'll work all things for good of those who are called according to your purpose. I thank you for it, Lord. We love you for it. Thank you for this night where we were focused around your word, Lord. May we be, Lord, as we prayed earlier, different than when we walked in. We trust you by faith, Lord, in Jesus' name.